break. Great to have you here on this lunch hour, Wednesday lunch hour. And although it looks nice and sunny out there, we know it's a little cooler today. And the expectation that we might see a little bit of the white stuff could be some snow overnight and flurries tomorrow. In fact, accumulating in some places 5 to maybe even 10 centimeters of snow tomorrow is an expectation. So yet to be determined if you're going to be walking through snow, if you're going to the Rider game on the weekend. But either way, we have lots to look forward to with the Riders. And we'll talk a little bit more about that as we get closer to the weekend. Well, whenever I have the opportunity to hang out with, I've got two grandsons, 4 and 1. They love going to the park. And that's always, in fact, for a while there, Grandpa was going up the slide with the oldest one. And now he's 4 years old. He's able to go up there, take his younger brother with him. And it's less stairs for Grandpa to do. But when you are there, you realize the excitement that comes with a park and a playground. But also, if you are someone who has a child or knows someone with mobility limitations, traditional playgrounds can be a bit of a challenge. You think about the sand that's in the playgrounds, even the play structures themselves. At St. Anne's School in Saskatoon, a new initiative is working to change that by creating a wheelchair accessible playground. The project inspired by a young student at the school who, after an accident, now uses a wheelchair and cannot access the existing playground. I'm so happy to have Brittany Hebert joining me here, one of the key organizers behind this project, to discuss the vision, the fundraising efforts, the impact that this will have on the school and the wider community. And Brittany, by the way, here with her daughter, McKenna. Brittany, thank you so much for being here.
It's a pleasure to be here. Thanks for the opportunity.
So let's talk about the inspiration behind, or maybe the moment when you realized, oh, this playground is not going to work for McKenna.
Yeah, so McKenna was in an accident 2 years ago, so accessibility wasn't at the forefront of our mind until it suddenly was. Mm-hmm. So that's our motivation behind this. And her brother Carter goes to St. Anne's School as well, so it was our community school that we were already attending, and now McKenna's in kindergarten. So we realize now that the school is not equipped to serve those with disabilities, mobility challenges, specifically in a wheelchair.
Mm-hmm. Are there other students at the school with mobility challenges?
Not specifically with mobility challenges, although I think that coming to St. Anne without an accessible playground with sand, it's going to deter people from coming who need those. Whereas we were already at the school because our son was there when the accident happened. So that's kind of, we were already planted at that school.
So many things like that. I mean, I think about sand around play structures is just something that you've experienced, you know, my whole life. That's what I think of. But until you're in a position where you've got that perspective that sand and a wheelchair don't mix. And that's when that perspective, I think, probably really motivates you to say, how can we make a change here?
Yeah, sand and wheelchairs do not mix at all. In fact, you really have to practically drag a wheelchair through there. So that doesn't work very well, especially as the child gets older, or perhaps it's an adult or even a grandparent who has mobility challenges. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, I give you so much credit. Brittany Hebert is my guest, because it's one thing to recognize, look, this playground is not going to be something that my daughter's going to enjoy. I think there are many people that would recognize that and maybe go and talk to someone at the school about it. But you've really taken this proactive approach, like, let's make a change. Why bite into a project this big?
Well, first of all, there's no funding elsewhere. So I know that in order for this to get done, it's going to have to be me, because I'm the most motivated individual to be able to make this project happen, because it's my daughter and I want my daughter and others now, like we were talking about, that perspective. That's my perspective now. Mm-hmm. It's a lens in which I see the world. So I have the motivation for it, and I know that it's not going to happen just on its own by me just talking to someone. Mm-hmm. There's no funding, you know, from the government or from the school divisions for this kind of thing. It's all up to parent councils to make that happen.
And, you know, we're talking about St. Anne's School, which is where your son goes, where McKenna goes. But I would say it's probably fairly common, unless it's a new build, a new school, for playgrounds to all be in this state. This isn't unique to this school. Lots of of playgrounds in communities all over this province would have the same accessibility issues.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's only if they're retrofitted, really, which doesn't happen very often. But the newer ones are more often either having wood chips or the rubber surfacing. Wood chips are better than sand, but not as good as the rubber surfacing.
Right. So let's talk a little bit about that. Brittany Hebert is my guest, who is really leading the charge on making an accessible playground at the St. Anne's School. So let's talk about the surface, first of all. That can't be cheap, replacing the sand with rubber.
Yeah, rubber surfacing can run you probably will be about $80,000 of our overall budget for our playground.
Right. What is the overall budget?
Our phase one budget is $273,000. Our phase two, our total budget, is $380,000. Mm-hmm. And so we know for sure that we're going to do at least phase one in the summer of 2026. We got the Saskatchewan Playground Equipment Grant, which is up to
$50,000. That's nice. Yeah.
So that has to be used by October 2026. So we're excited that we know that we will be building something in the summer.
Sure.
It just is a matter of, will we be able to build all of it, or will we have to scale back based on funding?
Help us understand, Brittany, other than the surface, what else in the playground will be unique in terms of accessibility and fun, right? That's the whole goal. This is a playground. We want to have fun. Yeah. So can you give us an idea of structures, things like that?
So the structure will be a series of ramps. So that will allow a wheelchair user, someone with lower mobility, to be able to access the whole thing. Ramps aren't uncommon on a structure, but they're usually joined by stairs at some point. So there'll be access through stairs for a caregiver or able-bodied kids, but McKenna and others in a wheelchair or with low mobility will be able to access the whole structure with ramps. Then there'll also be some individual components that are interactive. That was a big part of my design feature of wanting it to be interactive, things like X's and O's, and also just things that are lower that a wheelchair user will be able to get to and that are more accessible, like seating. Like, there's going to be a teeter-totter with an accessible seat on it,
right,
so that a child wouldn't just slip off so easily.
It's a beautiful initiative. It's an exciting initiative. I can't help but think there's going to be companies that are going to come forward, and maybe some already have, to identify, I want to be part of this project. I want to help make this happen. How long has it been that you've been getting this initiative off the ground?
We've been working on it for about a year now, and we do have a number of businesses that have come on board and given some sponsorship. I've applied for a lot of grants as well from some of those larger organizations. So it's a combination of both community support, where we're running things like raffle tickets and poinsettia sales,
sure,
then approaching local businesses, and then some of those more corporate sponsors where I apply online.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of a lot of work and a lot of multifaceted efforts.
Right. Brittany Hebert is my guest, joining me today live in studio with her daughter, McKenna, part of the St. Anne School Wheelchair Accessible Playground Initiative. How's the school been? I'm sure they're excited about this upgrade to their playground.
Yeah, they're very excited. Of course, the kids will love a new playground. The principal, Chris Hansen, has been such a wonderful support and encouragement for us. He's been helping us along and just a great liaison with the school and the school division. So it's been wonderful having their partnership, and they're very excited for it.
You mentioned right at the start of the conversation that McKenna was involved in an accident that has rendered her to be using a wheelchair, which, by the way, the coolest wheelchair I've seen. Light up wheels. She rolled into this studio, and I'm like, I like that. But can you talk about, just generally, you're talking about playgrounds now, but I'm sure you've learned lots about accessibility and challenges in everyday life, whether it's going to the store. Accessibility is a topic that often is overlooked unless you've got the perspective of the importance of it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you want to know a really interesting thing, our two-year-old daughter, she can point out accessibility in the community probably better than I could prior to McKenna's accident happening.
Right?
So McKenna's sister, Kinsley, she'll say, look, there's a ramp. McKenna can use it. So she's able to find things like wheelchair buttons, or if a sidewalk has a ramp, or if a business has a ledge, you know, from the parking lot to the sidewalk where you can't get up easily.
Right.
Sometimes I have to lift McKenna's chair up over the sidewalk because there's no easy access point.
Right. So if people want to help, because I know people do, people will hear this and think, I absolutely want to be a part of it. Could be in a big way, could be in a small way. How can they help?
So we have an account set up with the Greater Saskatoon Catholic Schools Foundation. So you can reach out to them directly, putting your memo saying that it's for the St. Anne School Playground. You can drop off checks right at the school, St. Anne School. We also have a Canada Helps donation link. And we also have a Facebook page, so you can also find us on Facebook, St. Anne School Wheelchair Accessible Playground Initiative.
Okay.
And we post lots of updates on Facebook.
And I see a text came in on the line saying, poinsettia sales, I'd love to buy a couple. So where is that happening now? Or
Have poinsettia sale happening, and that's until November 11th, so Tuesday.
Yeah.
And so we're collecting that. Great prices, great plants, and wreaths and things like that. And that the link is also on our Facebook page, so you can find it there as well.
Yeah, good stuff. One of my favorite sayings, nothing great in life is ever achieved without enthusiasm. You bring the enthusiasm, the passion, Brittany, for this. Thank you for what you're doing. McKenna, thanks for coming in today. It's great to see you as well. Appreciate having both of you here. We look forward to following this along and seeing what this playground is going to look like. It'll be impressive.
Yeah, it's our pleasure to be here.
Thanks so much and congrats on the upcoming success. Brittany Hebert, mother of McKenna, both joining me in studio, part of the St. Anne School Wheelchair Accessible Playground Initiative. And again, you can find them at a few places. You can go to the Catholic Schools Foundation. You can obviously connect with the school itself or go to their Facebook page if you'd like to help out. You're listening to 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Thanks again to Brittany Hebert. Stop by with McKenna today. Boy, I'll tell you, what an inspirational piece of work there that Brittany is doing, leading the effort in putting together a wheelchair accessible playground at St. Anne's School. That's where her daughter McKenna goes, who is in a wheelchair and wants to enjoy the playground. And so like any mother, she wants to make it as fun of an experience as she can. And that playground is going to be, it'll be the envy of schools, I'm sure, throughout the city and maybe even the province once it's done. So thanks to everyone that has helped out with that yet. And I sure encourage you to go to their Facebook page, the St. Anne School Wheelchair Accessible Playground Initiative, as gives you lots of different opportunities to connect there and help out. I want to go back to the text line because I just was trying to go through and there were so many today weighing in on the budget and whether it hits the mark. And I was reading a text earlier that said, you know, 28,000 public service personnel is just a drop in the bucket. We've increased by over 100,000 in the last 10 years. This is the text I was referring to. Lane in Regina said, I want to offer another perspective on the civil servant issue. Keep in mind, they're moving 28,000 employees from salary to a defined benefit pension, which is indexed and guaranteed by the taxpayers. So it's not always the savings that you think it is. All 28,000 probably won't go to pension. Some of them may leave early, not go on pension, but you're right, Lane, that there will be some that are connected there. The other topic that we got into this morning is the topic of the decision by one of the Conservative MPs to cross the floor. Basically makes the decision that this group, the Conservatives, no longer represent what I think is best for the country. So Chris D'Entremont, who's a Conservative Nova Scotia MP, decides to cross the floor. Christine says, with a text here, it says, I just want to say, what happens when a player goes from Saskatchewan to another team? They get booed. It's the same thing with this Conservative, I mean Liberal. Also, I think he'll be done in politics. The Conservatives won't want him, and the Liberals won't trust him. Lots of really good messages coming in here. There's no way. So this is John in Saskatoon. And again, talking about the Conservative MP who crossed the floor. There's no way he made this decision after reading the budget and consulting people in his riding. The rumors of this happening started before the budget was released. This was because he was hurt. You don't want to rep the party you were voted in with? Fine. You resign, run in a by-election, or at the very least, sit as an independent. You do not join another party without a mandate from your constituents. That's kind of my part. That's my point in all of this, is it feels like this is not genuinely representing the people who voted him in because they voted thinking he was part of the Conservative Party. Well, our analysis of the budget and the impact of that will continue tomorrow on the show. We've got Premier Scott Moe right off the start at 8:30 out of the gates. Premier Moe will join us. We've got a full show planned tomorrow. Our friend General Rick Hillier, former Canadian Chief of Defense Staff, will join us tomorrow morning as well. So we know $81.8 billion investment in the military is coming through this budget. What does that mean? General Hillier will be able to lay that out. So the Premier, General Rick Hillier. We're going to talk AI with Brian McQuinn. We got lots going on tomorrow. I hope you can join us. It all fires up at 8:30 right here on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM.